They were frightened.
I want masks. What is this?
Listen, I'll grant you Felco is crazy.
Here we go.
Man, I gotta lay off the peyote.
It was horrendous.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bye! Maz, how you doing?
Good, you?
I'm just peachy, thank you. Big Jim Murray alongside as well. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Hi. Enough with pleasantries. Let's start with some baseball, Maz.
Yeah.
What do you know? What have you learned? Seems like you've been doing some reporting today.
I made a couple of phone calls in the last 24 hours. You could say that.
So what do you know?
I made some calls last night. I made some calls this morning, just kind of sniffing around, seeing what's out there. And so here's what I'll tell you. There have been other things reported also in the last little bit that to me are newsworthy. And so to me, let's give the biggest one first. And that is that Michael Silverman of the Boston Herald had a story out a little while ago that the Red Sox aren't interested in J.D. Martinez or Eric Hosmer. They are interested in J.D. Martinez and Eric Hosmer, that they want them both, that it's not necessarily a package deal. I think that's the wrong way to categorize it, but that they want both players. Both players are represented by Scott Boras, and there is sort of a developing theory out there that Dave Dombrowski has wanted these guys from the start, that he knew it was going to take forever because everything with Boras does, and that is what his target is to get those two guys. Do you buy it?
Unfortunately, yes. Except for the part about that being the plan from the start.
Okay. Murray?
I mean, I can see them doing it now.
I do. Feels a little bit knee-jerky. That's why I believe it.
Yeah. So
that's why I say the piece about it's his plan all along, I don't believe that.
Yeah, I don't believe that either.
Because just the other day, he says, well, where are we going to put two bats?
Right. So I think they wanted one of those two guys, and now that because the Yankees have acted, they're in a spot where they may actually consider two, which would mean they'd have to move an outfielder, and then there you go. So why would he say what he said the other night? Unless he's just trying to create leverage against Scott Boras, which is entirely possible. Okay, because we all know that Boras is a pain in the ass when it comes to negotiation, which is to say that he's a good negotiator. Here's the other thing. The Orioles are very serious about moving Manny Machado. Okay, Baltimore thought they had him signed to an extension a few years ago. And by the way, I should tell you, Machado is not represented by Boras. I thought he was. He began his career with Boras and then left him shortly after he began his pro career. So he's with a different agent. And a few years ago, the Orioles thought they were going to have him signed to a deal. It fell apart over a very small amount of money, which suggests to me that somehow Baltimore ownership got involved there because Angelos has done a number of stupid things down there, Peter Angelos, the owner of the Orioles, over the course of the years. But whatever. Machado is real. Machado's on the market. He's real. So the Orioles want a couple of young pitching prospects. I shouldn't say left-handed. I threw that in. They want, because I think the Red Sox have one to deal who's left-handed. But they want a couple of young pitching prospects or young pitching for Machado. There are other organizations that have more to deal than the Red Sox do. I don't even think that part is debatable. So I think the chances of him ending up here are slim to none. Okay, slim to none. But it sort of struck me, today coming in here. If you are the Red Sox and you could get 1 year of Manny Machado, but you'd have to give up Jay Groom, let's just say, I would throw Bogarts into the deal and play Machado at shortstop. But let's just say Jay Groom and another prospect or maybe Eduardo Rodriguez. Would you do it for 1 year?
No.
I would. 1 year and you just do your best to try to convince him to sign an extension when you get him here.
See, okay, so... still no.
Okay, so 1 year meaning, but then you could try to resign.
See, yeah.
And I would say yes. If you were to say to me, of all the options out there, would you rather throw a pile of money at J.D. Martinez and a pile of money at Eric Hosmer or both, or trade some guys for Manny Machado in the hope that you could resign him?
My answer is none of the above. But if you're saying, I don't want them so... So now you're asking a different thing. You're saying... Hosmer and Martinez or Machado.
Right, so your plan A is nothing.
Nothing. So, you lost. You got pantsed. Take your medicine. Don't throw good money after bad. See, like the Hosmer-Martinez thing feels like you're chasing. And boy, does that feel like horses versus, a ponies versus a horse. So you miss out on the horse, and you get two ponies, except these ponies cost you $25 million a year, and that hamstrings you down the road to go get the real guy. And so I hate that idea of both J.D. Martinez and Hosmer. I'm in on Hosmer, if the price is right. both of those guys? No, because it's still not going to – I don't trust J.D. Martinez. I don't like that signing.
So is there a number with Martinez that would make the deal more palatable for you? In other words, let's just say the Martinez deal is
– 4 times 20.
I was going to say 4 and 125, 130 even.
God. No. No, I don't think he's going to do it. I don't think he's going to do it. He was released 3 years ago. And he's a guy that in 3 years could be released again. I don't trust him. I don't like the signing. I don't want the player. Okay. I don't want J.D. Martinez.
So I come back to Machado. If I'm the Red Sox, I'd roll the dice there.
That's a horse. That's a real horse.
First of all, he's young. I think he's got some balls to him. Okay, the guy's a good defensive player on top of it. You know, he runs pretty well. He's not a base stealer, but he's an athletic kid. And you know what? Take a shot. Because here's the other thing. The Red Sox are so deep into this thing already. They are so knee-deep in contracts and prospects in terms of what they've spent on this particular group of players. Is Jay Groom really going to alter the course of their...
I'm not worried about Jay Groom.
Okay, so this is my point.
I think selling Bogarts for a one-year, you know, no.
Okay, but maybe Bogarts isn't even in it.
Okay.
I'm saying, so maybe you move Devers to first base and you put Machado at third. I'm saying that I think the cost for Machado in terms of trade might be a little bit less because he's only got 1 year. And the Orioles are not going to allow anybody to negotiate with Machado ahead of time. If you're making the trade, you're making the trade for 1 year. You're getting the player for 1 year.
Why wouldn't the Orioles open that up? They get more in return that way.
So it's a good question. My guess is that, and I wonder why teams do it this way too, but my guess is that they don't want to give leverage to the agent, right? And more teams do it this way than not, it seems, unless it's a guy that is so coveted and that is open to playing in a number of different places that the agent becomes easy to deal with. But my guess is in this case, the Orioles are worried about the agent blowing up the deal because the agent isn't going to sign anywhere and he's going to take the player to the market no matter what at the end of the year. And so that's it. You can't negotiate. You got to trade for 1 year with the player. If I'm the Red Sox at this stage, I would roll the dice. To me, that's the best available option out there right now.
The whole thing frustrates me. So you're going to give prospects for 1 year for Machado, but you wouldn't give them up for Stanton. And you're going to pay $25 million a year for J.D. Martinez or Hosmer, but you wouldn't do it for Stanton. This is like, I'm just saying, no, just not, no. Well, then none of it. None of it. The big money and the prospects were worth the guy who hit 59 homers. It's not worth it for the guy who could be here 1 year or the two guys who together don't equal the one. So no, just stop.
Okay, but here's the problem I have.
Boy, does that, and again, 617-779-0985. Phone lines are open, 617-779-0985. The Hosmer Martinez thing feels to me like ponies versus a horse that you're still going to have to pay through the nose, and it's chasing your tail because you've got all this blowback on Stanton, and I think that's just dumb. They've gotten in trouble when they've overpaid mid-level guys. They haven't always gotten in trouble when they've overpaid the top end. They didn't get in trouble with Manny Ramirez. That was a good signing. And David Price, you know, isn't a total. He still put up numbers. And Chris Sale's been worth every dime. Like, when you go for the elite of the elite, it's worth it. And it's been worth it to this team. It's when you go after Pablo Sandoval and Carl Crawford and J.D. Martinez. I put those guys on that list. No, 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 no.
Okay, so this is part of the reason why. Look, this is part of the reason why I want Machado. I think Machado's a stud. But beyond that, here's the dilemma I have. Here's the dilemma I have. As you would say, I want a baseball season.
Right.
And right now, I look at it, and I don't think they're going to beat the Yankees. I don't believe in them. I don't believe that they're good enough. So I look at it and I say, on the one hand, you know what? You already screwed it up. So now what? You missed on Stanton. You missed on Ohtani. You didn't seem to have any particular interest really in either player. Maybe they had some in Ohtani, but they didn't get him and they didn't get Stanton. So now they're talking about the JDs and Eric Hosmers, who there is no question they are going to pay through the nose to get. They are going to wildly overpay those guys. So you know what? If you're going to trade all your prospects and load up for a 2 or 3 year window, then go all in with that. Go get Machado. I don't need Jay Groom. You've screwed up the minor league system enough as it is anyway. So is Jay Groom going to alter the future of the franchise? Like, at this point, I'm saying, screw it. The 1 year means something to me. I'm sorry. If it's me, go get me Machado now. I want the best player. I want a damn season.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz. We want to appeal metal to your ears.
Blunt force trauma!
We're gonna run it right down their throat!
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I've had no one tell me that J.D. Martinez is anything other than a very competent outfielder. And when you go back and look at 2015, when he had, I think, 15 assists, they stopped running on him wisely, and then all of a sudden, that's when the negative ratings started to show up. I've had no team tell me that they want him to not in any way play the outfield, and certainly National League teams covet him, welcome him, and as far as American League team, I think it provides a choice because obviously you have a DH position that is... you're going to have to be really good at it. You're going to have those slugging numbers, and frankly, few provide that in that position.
Look, I get what his job is. I'm just telling you that there's never any consistency to anything that comes out of his mouth. He's just giving you a pitch for his client. That's it. That's it. That's it, the whole story. So I'm not surprised to hear him say there, oh, no, he's a candidate for National League teams, because honestly, I think National League teams are afraid of this guy. Now, look, the Diamondbacks are interested. They had him, but beyond that, I think it depends on the ballpark. I mean, the Giants need a power hitter. I haven't heard them really link to him. So that seems curious to me. And, you know, as much as I've been ripping Dombrowski this week, and he deserves it, with Boris, you got to wait him out. You got to wait him out. That's the only way to negotiate with him. And maybe if you wait him out, he's got nowhere to go and at least gives you a little bit of leverage.
Okay, your thoughts, as promised. Dave in Plymouth and his good landline. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mike. Tony, so was that outfielder from the Marlins that got traded to the Cardinals, was he ever in play for the Red Sox? I mean,
Dave, go ahead.
No, was he somebody that was under consideration at all?
So I have not heard the Red Sox link to him. I suspect that they probably inquired, but again, they don't have the prospects to acquire a guy like that.
Yeah, and to me, Tony, I think Dombrowski has made the classic mistake of cleaning the cupboard, and now he's sitting there. And Boris, you know, is like the King Cobra, because he's going to strike when he feels like it, when he knows that he's sitting there with a team that's looking up at their chief rival that just got the biggest fish in this off season. And, you know, what's Dombrowski going to do? He just doesn't have it. I'm with you. I think I go all in. I trade Bogarts. I trade, you know, a couple of prospects. Heck, I give him Rodriguez or, you know, somebody else on the Major League roster. Give him four players and go for it next year. And if you don't, fine. Okay.
For 1 year, Machado, it's just
crazy.
Come on.
I know. It's crazy. I'm just telling you, I feel like they've backed themselves into this corner.
Well, so this is my point. Either go toe-to-toe and go after Stanton and take on the Yankees, or don't. You know, it's just these half measures. So overspending for a guy for 1 year, overspending for J.D. Martinez? No. You lost. You didn't want to go toe, you know, you didn't want to take on the Yankees. So then just take your medicine, save your money, and go back at him next year.
You don't think Machado's worth the risk, though?
For 1 year? He scares me. He also scares me in this market. You know, when people say Machado or Harper, I'd take either guy. But if I had a choice, it's Harper.
Oh, me too.
I mean, look, there's, I mean.
But Machado is a stud. I mean, he had 37 home runs.
He also hates you. He also hates, or no, does he like Pedroia? Like, I'm confused. Like that whole.
No, I think they like each other, yeah.
Okay, so they like each other. I don't know, that whole nonsense. Like, he's a hothead, which can be good, but it could also work against him here, right? An emotional guy.
Well, Harper's the same way. He's a hothead.
Well, it's true. It's true. I don't know. I just, look, I'll take Machado. I'll take him on a five-year, $200 million contract. No problem. Every day of the week. To rent him for a year? For Eddie Rodriguez or Bogarts? None of whom I love, but there's more value to those guys than that.
I would trade for him and then offer the agent 8 years and $250 million.
Yeah, fine. I mean, if you're telling me that, yeah. If I get him long-term, yes. Jay in Lawrence. Hi, Jay.
Yeah, what's up? Two things. I agree with that last call. I really wish we went after Osuna, gave Jackie Bradley and some other prospects, but since that didn't happen, why can't we? Could we give up Chavez since we don't need a third baseman? Since the Orioles are going to need a third baseman, another prospect, would that do anything for Machado?
That seems like an overpayment.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to give up Devers. No way.
For 1 year, again, for 1 year, if you get to talk to the guy and he'll sign an extension, then that's different. Then it's, you know, then we're talking about a whole different, you know, level of compensation. But for 1 year. No,
not a million years. And look, the other thing is, you're not trying to, you know, you don't want to completely mortgage everything that will help this team and could help you in coming years. So Devers is going to hit for power. So ideally, I want him and Machado side by side somewhere in that lineup, whether Devers is behind him hitting fifth or sixth or whatever it is. I want them both. If you give up Devers, that sort of defeats the purpose.
Totally.
No, I want to build something that can compete with what the Yankees have.
Mikey in Linfield. Hi, Mikey.
Hey, so about Machado, I don't think he'd fix this leadership void, which is what the Sox need, and I think Hosmer would do that. So I would go trade for Machado on that cheap $11 million deal, sign.
I'll plug for you. I forgot about or even didn't even consider Machado's contract. $11 million this year?
Well, I don't know if that's the exact number. I got to find.
Or is he arbitration? Like, where is he?
I thought he was arbitration eligible. I'll check it. He's going to get more than that.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
But either way, this is the last year you get him at, even if it's arbitration, that's a team-friendly number.
Correct.
Comparatively speaking. Which is something to consider. That's something to consider. And, I'm with the caller in terms of Hosmer, yes. Martinez, no. No, J.D. Martinez. I think he's just asking for it.
It's a mistake.
I think that's asking for a Carl Crawford situation. Alan in Florida. Go ahead, Alan.
Well, first of all, Ken Rosenthal is reporting that Mike Silverman's article is completely false. He's hearing completely opposite to what Mike Silverman wrote, even though he claimed he was a good writer. But he said that's not happening. That's number one. Number two, I don't know how listening to Dombrowski this week can ever get off the hook. He stuttered. He lied. He's just a disgrace. I mean, it's totally ridiculous. And I have to disagree with you, Mike. I'm not willing to give up a whole baseball season. It's ridiculous. They have to do something. I mean, this is crazy. This team is just non-hitting, boring. They've got to, I don't care if they get Hosmer. I don't even care if they get, you know, last year I kept on hounding you guys until April about Encarnacion. No, you were right. Okay, this is just absurd. I don't care. You know what? If he had any imagination, Cincinnati would love to unload Joey Votto because he's got a huge contract. You know what? They want to spend money. They didn't want to spend in Stanton. Let them go after Votto and go get him and pay his ridiculous salary. But they have to do something. I mean, the Yankees are going to go after Greinke. They're just going to keep going and going and going. It's going to be ridiculous.
Well, the Yankees get Greinke and Machado.
And they would screw the Red Sox royally if that happened, too.
So listen.
Because then Arizona would have the money to go get Martinez.
I'm not giving up the season. I mean, you're still going to compete. You still should win.
Yeah, for the wild card need.
Still. So what's the alternative? Making a move just to make a move? That's
well,
how you
are
really
we playing for
yourself.
Championships or are we just playing for divisional titles and
see, my
wild
point
card
is,
berths?
I don't think any of these guys, short of Machado, are a championship difference. I mean, I don't know. Hosmer would help. Like I said, I'm okay with Hosmer. Maybe I'm just scared of J.D. Martinez. And the fact he was released 3 years ago and now he's hitting 45 home runs. Like, that just scares, and he's 30. And it scares the crap out of me, that guy.
Well, he should scare the crap out of you.
I don't touch J.D. Martinez.
Yeah, he's scary. And again, I don't know. You know, it's funny you said, like, depending on how much you can overpay these guys, the Red Sox almost seem more inclined to give someone a short contract and overpay them enormously in that period of time than anything long that would really hurt them down the road. And I don't know, versus, you know, if you're going to give $30 million, obviously you'd rather give it over 4 years than eight. Okay, fine. But it feels to me sometimes like they are inclined to do something really crazy in the short term to bring a guy in, and I look at it and say, I'd rather have Stanton for 10.
Of course.
I'd rather have Stanton for 10 years at $300 million than give J.D. Martinez $30 million a year for 5 years. Why would you rather have J.D. Martinez in that scenario?
I don't get it. Steven in Manchester, hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys? How we doing?
Good.
I'm talking about J.D. Martinez here. I'm looking at Baseball Savant, and I see this guy's got pretty good opposite field power. And I know that doesn't mean anything with the deep right field and Fenway, but I'm also looking at Jose Abreu because I didn't know that the rumors were still out there or not. But I like that he's got some pretty serious pop against left-handed pitching and all this stuff. And I would like to see them sign Martinez, trade Jackie Bradley, a couple prospects, whoever it needs to be, and get Jose Abreu in here to play first and get JD to take over in left, move Benintendi at right, put Mookie in center. I feel like that would work out really well.
I don't like JD Martinez. I mean, his numbers last year, your numbers you're looking up, what site was that, whatever it was? Look at what his stats were 3 years ago. Oh, he doesn't have any. He was released. I mean, he does, but he was freaking released. And now he goes to 45 home runs. And when were most of them hit last year? Weren't they after the All-Star break?
Yes,
he just go on this insane run after the All-Star break?
I think he hit 29 home runs after the All-Star break.
So, like,
in fact, after the trade deadline, which means it's even later than that.
And Bobby Abreu is exactly the opposite. Caller, go look at Bobby Abreu year to year. Every single year he's had plus 100 RBI. Every single year he's had, I think it's plus 28 home runs. He's averages like 33, I think, a year. But it's all pretty consistent. It's like 36, 33, 31, 28. Like, every year is the same.
He's basically 330 and 100 every year.
So, and you're saying he has a 300 average every year. But apparently he's off the board, or you don't have the ammunition to go get him.
No, it's the second thing. They don't have the ammunition.
Of all these guys are talking about, he would be my number one target.
So they don't have the ammo. They don't have the ammo, which is why I look at it and say, well, you're going to have to take a gamble now if you want to get a stud. Stanton was there. All you had to do was eat the money. You didn't have to give up much to get him, but they weren't willing to do that. So now what are you left with? You could have had 10 years of Stanton. And again, I'm not saying Stanton would have come here. Okay, but I'm telling you, they did not pursue it. That's what pisses me off. So I don't understand how there was really no acquisition cost or nothing great on Stanton, and they don't want to do it because of the contract, but they'll talk about maybe some other guys on shorter deals when you have to give up maybe more than you would have had to give up for Stanton. Stanton's contract was an asset for them in those trade discussions. They could use that to their advantage. They could say, well, we're going to have to pay a great player anyway. This contract's built in. At least we don't have to give up talent because we don't have any. Now they're in a spot where whether it's Machado, Jose Abreu, whoever it is, you're going to have to give up something to get that guy. And ultimately, you're going to have to pay him anyway. Stupid. They're so stupid.
It really all just goes back to Stanton, doesn't it? We're just bitching about Stanton.
Well, yeah, to a large degree, yes. I just, you know, to me with Machado, I would take a chance. If I were them, I would really beat down the door there, and I would take a chance. He's 24 years old. And you know what? Make him negotiate with him now and pay out the nose and keep him. If you've got to give him 10 years and $300 million, give it to him, for crying out loud. That's what Stanton would have cost. Just do it. Like, I'm tired of the Red Sox tapping their feet here and looking for these, you know, prudent decisions that ultimately are going to end up being stupid anyway, and they're going to get lesser players.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
So I agree with your point that you made earlier that I think if the Red Sox do make this trade, that it's like chasing two out of the two ponies. I don't understand why they didn't try to go after more of Stanton. I know they didn't want them. It's just like ridiculous. You know, it just looks bad on our part when now we got to chase the Yankees and now, even the Astros, and we still have a problem with not even making it out of the first round playoff. And I still think they should go after I don't think he should go after J.D. Martinez. I think he hasn't even played one whole season yet. The guy, he hit 45 home runs last year, or he won a big run, but still. I like Hosmer. You know, I think he'd be a good impact in the locker room. Maybe Josh Donaldson. I don't know, Felger. Maz, I don't know if you know his contract or what he'd be willing, but.
I'm sorry, whose contract?
Josh Donaldson.
Oh.
I think he's got 1 year left.
So I like that, too. Votto, Donaldson, Hosmer, those guys satisfy your gamer quotient, your intangible sort of thing. All those guys have it. All those guys. Donaldson's like that on steroids.
Yeah, total hardo.
Right? Total hardo. Which maybe is like maybe Donaldson's maybe too much of that. But those guys, yeah, I'd be into all those guys. I guess, man, it's not to go all Patriots on you, but it's just like make a good deal. Don't do it just because you lost to the Yankees, you're getting blowback now publicly, or that you're chasing something. And, you know, we'll talk Bruins here coming up. There's a good example of it, what happened today when they released Matt Bolesky. They have money, they have a need, they're sort of chasing it. So they say, well, let's go get the best forward on the market. Even though it's a horrible market, even though there's no good forwards out there, there's no one worth the money. But Bolesky's there, we have the need. So, okay, go ahead. And that, without even considering if the player can play or not. And that's how you make a bad deal, and that's how you get in trouble.
Okay, so again, this is why I say J.D. Martinez scares the crap out of me. Hosmer I like, but they're going to overpay him. Okay, I told you, I think Hosmer's about an $18 million player. in the modern market. That's what I think he is. But he's going to get 25. I mean, 20, something like that. You know, and 20 is not so bad relative to 18. So maybe it comes in, you know, in the low 20s. I don't know. But they're going to overpay for Hosmer, and which is going to irritate me. But nonetheless, so I just look at it and say, you know what? If I got to take a gamble at this stage, I'm taking a gamble on a guy who's a stud. And Machado, to me, is a stud. So I will take that gamble. They put themselves in a spot now where they don't have a choice.
Peter and JP. Hi, Pete.
Guys, I kind of agree with you, Mike. Everyone's making we're chasing Stanton, and that you can't do that. He wasn't coming to Boston, and Dombrowski knew he wasn't coming to Boston. I kind of like to see him bring back the same team, okay? They're going to be better at third base if they have Devers for the whole year. If David Price is healthy, Stephen Wright is healthy, you know, maybe they make a tweak here and a tweak there. They're a better team than they were last year, and they won 93 games. Plus, I'd like to see the money go to try and sign Mookie Betts long term. That's basically what I'd like to do.
Okay, so could they be saving some of their money for their own guys? And I don't think you need to worry about Stephen Wright's health. You need to worry about other things with that guy. But could they be saving their money for their own guys?
Sure.
And how do you feel about that?
I don't love it. Well, and I'll tell you why. Because do you want to give Bogarts a big contract?
No, I don't.
Okay. They've tried with Betts, and he said no. Do you want to give Bradley a big contract?
No.
Okay, so the one guy is Benintendi. Okay, so Benintendi, sure. That I'm okay with.
And Devers.
Well, okay, but he's way down the road.
And Betts. I mean, just because he said no, you still have to sign him.
Okay, but it feels to me like Betts is going to go to, you know, wants to wait it out and go to free agency. And typically when that happens, you lose the guy. So, now listen, they don't have to worry about Betts for a few more years, so that's fine. But the other guys, like, I don't have all that much desire to necessarily keep Bradley or Bogarts at this stage. Neither one of them has performed like you thought they would. You know, Bradley has had bursts.
How about Kimbrel? How about Sale? Aren't those guys coming up? When's Kimbrel up? After this year,
Kimbrel's
right?
Kimbrel's up after this season. Pomeranz is up after this season. Price could opt out.
What about Sale? 2 years left?
Sale has one more option year after this year. So I suppose there's a chance they want to give Sale a contract. But again, I'd almost even look at that one with a little bit of trepidation. Like, how many years are you going to give an ace, and for how much money? Are you going to give him 8 years and, you know, $200 million again, like you did for David Price? Because that one, it doesn't feel like a sound investment in terms of risk health wise. So I just feel they built this short window. Now all of a sudden they're in it, and they're not good enough as constituted, at least not in my mind.
Our buddy Rob is lounging in his recliner. What do you got, Rob? Robert! Okay, I'll put him on hold. Maybe he dozed off in that recliner. Sean and Marlboro. Hi, Sean.
I get a three-part point, but I'll be quick with this.
I hate three-part points, Sean.
Well, it's all part of the same thing. Doesn't J.D. Martinez feel like one of those things that baseball doesn't do where you want to offer him a $15 million contract with a bunch of incentives, but
yes,
because baseball doesn't do the incentives, that's almost off the table?
Yes.
And then
point two.
This comes back to ownership. Ownership, years ago, I said they're running it more like a business, which I understand, but they're overlooking baseball decisions in favor of business decisions. And that's what the Stanton deal feels like. And that's what they did with the whole arbitration thing, where the owners wanted arbitration to save money. And in the end, that's actually what led to the explosion of salaries in the later years of arbitration. Salaries got huge, and that's where Machado's at right now.
Okay, do you agree with Sean, and Shaughnessy said this earlier too, that the non-action on Stanton was all from up top, was all from John Henry?
I mean, it had to be a big part of it because they think the contract is what dissuaded them. So yes, I mean, largely yes, I would say it had to because it clearly was an issue with the players that were given up. I mean, there wasn't the Yankees really didn't end up sacrificing that much. So if you're talking a contract of that size, ownership had to be a factor.
Rob, are you there?
Cool.
Attaboy, Rob. Go ahead.
Maz, I'm sure you would have missed Ozuna more. I don't know if you've seen his wife before, but she's got quite the booty. But on Dombrowski, he's just the most, like, some type of creative deal. Like, he always signs a big free agent or we'll trade the farm away for someone, but, I mean, get creative.
Do you agree with this, Maz, that he lacks creativity?
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. feels to me like Dombrowski just looks at it and says, who's the best player out there? What do I have to give up to get him? And the part that's most frustrating about that is he's spending ownership's money and someone else's prospects. It's never his own resources. He always either inherits them from somebody else or gets the money from the owner. That's it. I could do that job easily. Piece of cake. It doesn't feel like there's any real thinking outside the box there at all. I've come to the conclusion that he's going to do to the Red Sox what he did to the Tigers, and he might be the most overrated general manager of the modern era. Like, you know, and again, now look, when they brought him here, I said to you, I want a baseball guy in here, someone like a Dombrowski, but I don't know enough about Dombrowski to fully commit to him. But someone like that, he's the farthest thing from what I thought he was. He's not even close to that.
Someone like Dombrowski, just not Dave Dombrowski. I got it.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Oh!
And here's Shane Larkin jumping the passing lane in front of Moutier, goes the distance and lays it in.
You can see him running and timing that. And this time they made the pass and he was coming.
Shane Larkin has been the man tonight. Celtics have him back to 10, 104-94. Larkin is 6-for-6.
Murray, you want to go? You want me to? Jimmy Stewart, who wants to go?
I mean, just real quick, I thought it was a really good all-around offensive performance. Brown, Tatum, Kyrie, Shane Larkin, Barry Larkin's kid of all people. You know, good spark off the bench. But I, to me, and maybe I'm a little bit biased, maybe I've taken too much green goo, but I don't think the score indicates what kind of game it really was. I mean, with Harris and Jamal Murray, they were basically lights out from beyond the arc the whole night. You missed the defense from Al Horford, so I don't know. I think it was a little bit skewed. Those guys were ridiculous. You got to kind of tip your cap and move on. It was a good win for them.
Stu, you were there, right?
I was there. I had decent seats. Not as
I'm
good
sure
as I used
did.
To, but,
yep.
You know, mm-hmm. They were okay.
What stood out from courtside?
The Celtics are now 3-0 without Al Horford, and there may be a take adjustment on my ranking of player value coming soon.
Okay, so explain. Just explain where you are in your evolution right there.
Well, the record is what it is, but the problem is that I still don't like this team defensively without Al Horford. And if you had Jokic last night, there's no chance that the Celtics win because Jokic would just destroy whoever was playing in the middle with no Al Horford there. But Kyrie, tremendous, opening up everything for everything. But Kyrie is very lazy, or was last night, specifically lazy on breaking through screens. And that's going to be a problem going forward defensively for this team.
Yeah, who played good defense last night on either team?
Right.
Well, that's where Al Horford and his green dot come into play.
Okay, I'm just telling you, that was a playground game last night. That's what that was. That's a playground game. And look, when Shane Larkin ends up being the key guy in the run late in the, it was 97-94 with, what, a few minutes left? Like, or 6 minutes to go? Maybe a little bit more than that, actually. And the Nuggets are right there with you in a game that's wide open, and Larkin ends up making some big shots and plays that win you the game. What does that tell you? Like, if that guy's making the big plays, nobody's playing any defense. Because he makes Isaiah look like Will Chamberlain, right out loud. That guy does. And so, now look, you take the W. I love the Nuggets backcourt, but they don't play a lick of D. Zero. The whole team. Zero.
Who would you rather have, Gary Harris or Marcus Smart?
Oh, please.
Gary Harris.
That's not even close.
Thank you.
And this guy, Jamal Murray, who was the Celtics.
Well, hold on. Just in one breath, you're complaining about the horrid, wretched defense, and then you say you'd rather take the player that's giving you the horrid, wretched defense.
Because he smoked you.
Because he's better.
Offensively.
He's a good. No. The whole team doesn't play defense. I wasn't saying him. He's
well, getting, no, but I mean.
Yeah, he's got.
So what do you want?
So
you want to be the Nuggets?
I want both.
No, but I'm telling you, Gary Harris is a better player than Marcus Smart.
Offensively.
I'll take Gary Harris over Marcus Smart.
Offensively.
And yeah. I'll take. And well, I'll.
I'm good with that.
How yeah. annoying is that that yeah. I keep doing that yeah. too?
That's fine. I'll take him all the way around in a second.
I was just looking at the standings as well. Cleveland, two games out in the loss column.
Closing in.
Cleveland, two games out in the loss column, which I just, again, find fascinating. Find fascinating. Cleveland hosts the Lakers tonight. That should be a good one. That Lakers-Knicks game, you see that the other night? That was a good. I watched the end of it.
Good win for the Knicks.
Yeah, good win for the Knicks. Lakers are not, you know, they had won two straight before that, and they took the Knicks to overtime. So I expect them to get pantsed tonight, but Lakers at Cleveland tonight. Cleveland only two losses behind you in the standings. All right, so there's your Celtics minute. You want to weigh in on the C's?
Jalen Brown had a nice shot last night with 10 seconds left on the shot clock.
Don't get me going on that.
So Maz had a Jalen Brown thought. Go ahead.
So, look, the Celtics shot 60% from the floor in the game, okay? So you don't shoot 60% with defense, but with the other team playing defense. Beyond that, there were 40 seconds to go. The Celtics are up 6. They are up 6 with 40 seconds to go, and they still have about 10 seconds on the shot clock. And Jalen Brown takes a 3 from the corner. Why would you do that? Can you explain that to me?
It's poor judgment.
Murray,
like
Jimmy, anybody? Can anybody please explain to me why Jalen Brown would take a 3 from the corner with 40 seconds left, up 6 with 10 seconds on the shot clock?
He's worried about his stats, Tony.
Apparently he is. Now, he made it. Okay, he made it. So they went up 9, 121-112, and you know, then pretty much that's it. Okay, although the Nuggets maybe made it a little interesting, but not really at the very end. But Brown got back to the bench, and I think it was, who's the assistant coach? Jimmy
Larinaga. Yeah.
Who said something to him, and Brown just kind of turned his head and walked to the bench. And I have to believe he said to him, what the hell are you doing taking that shot? It was dumb. It was a dumb, I don't care if it went in, it was a stupid shot.
Now we're mad about shots that are being made. Okay.
Yes. Right. Yes, we are.
Yeah, because for a player and a team that claims to be so smart, with the game as close as it was, those extra 10 seconds with, you see how quickly Denver can get the ball up the court, it could have cost them a game. Of course we have to criticize it.
So, Jimmy, actually, you remember, you agree with me.
Yes, that's why I brought it up.
Okay, good.
What about trying to trigger you.
Yeah, but what if a guy's feeling it? Obviously, he was last night. He felt confident enough to take the shot.
Stupid play.
Albeit dumb, it still went in.
It's dumb.
No, it's a dumb play, Murray.
I hear all the time about how Jalen Brown has this high basketball IQ. Not last night, he didn't. Dumb play. Needs to be better. Trade him.
Let him get yelled at by Marcus Smart again. He can go in the tank just like last year.
Jimmy doesn't mean that last thing again.
What, no, you're clamoring to be in the 300s with me, Jimmy.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Ho, ho, ho! You know, many find it hard to believe I own a sleigh that can fly. But you know what I find hard to believe? The unbelievable offers going on at the Winter Event.
The Mercedes-Benz Winter Event is back with incredible offers on the sporty CLA, the thrilling C-Class, the versatile GLA, the safe and secure GLE, the innovative GLC, and of course, the unequaled E-Class. But hurry, because these sleighs are going fast. Visit mbusa.com/winterevent. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.